4. It's a familiar passage. I have several messages I preach out of this text and have preached out of this text. And just a few weeks ago, I preached a message out of this text, and we'll be preaching again here tonight. But again, I believe it's instructive, and it helps us to grow as we look at these lessons of the disciples and what they went through and their experience with Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, you're a child of God, you're having an experience with Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes we think our experience is unique and we think our situations are unique. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing new under the sun. There's no situation that is unique. Everybody, everything you could possibly be going through in your life, someone else is going through it also. And probably millions of someone else, because there are 7.5 billion people in the world, 7.75 billion people in the world. So whatever you might possibly be going through tonight, there are millions of others that are going through the same thing you're going through. And if nothing else, that should bring us comfort to know that we're not alone in our trials and our afflictions. And thank God we're not alone, because Jesus cares. And thank God He cares. Matthew chapter number 4 tonight, look at verse number 35. And won't be long tonight, but it's a simple little message and a short little message. But I pray that it'll speak to all of our heart. Verse number 30, Mark chapter number 4. And let me see there. We want to start in verse number 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over on the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Now, that's important. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, I want to preach on tonight of this thought in verse number 38. And he said, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I want to preach on this thought of what bothers God. You ever been sleeping and had someone come in and bother you? And they're waking you up when you got good in the sleep. Isn't that an aggravating thing to be woken up when you're sleeping real good? And Jesus is sleeping real good. And the disciples come up and they ask him the dumbest question ever. You know, it'd be like your wife waking you up in the middle of the night and saying, honey, do you love me? Well, you know I love you. Of course I love you. It'd be like your children waking you up, shaking you in the middle of the night. Daddy, get up. He said, what? Do you love me? Of course you love your little children, right? Of course you love them. Daddy, you understand what I'm saying here? Or a husband doing the same thing, bugging his, you know, you could go back and forth and do this thing, right? A husband, you know, saying, you know, your wife's, you know, out cold, and you wake her up and say, well, honey, are you going to fix my breakfast? That's a dumb question. You know, come on, be real. Now, men might do that, right? Men are that dumb. They might do something like that. But what, I want to preach tonight on what bothers God. And there are some things that bother God. No doubt there are things that bother him and things that make him upset and things that he doesn't like. And I hope we can understand the message tonight. It's a simple little thought. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for your love and your grace. And God, I'm so thankful that you care. No one cares more than you do. You're the great God and the great King. You're the lover of our soul. Lord, you love the church. You love the church so much that you gave your life's blood for it. And God, I'm thankful that you love the church. I'm thankful that you love the Christian. You love the child of God. And Lord, may we never doubt that in our hearts, Father. May we be secure and settled in the fact that you love us above everything else. Bless the word and help me to bring it. And God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight I preach on this thought of what bothers God. What bothers God? Of course, Christ is sleeping and they wake him and they ask him that question. And again, that is a dumb question, because we know that God cares. We know that he cares. If you look in Matthew chapter number 10, God cares so much about us that he's taken time to number the hairs on our head. We know that he cares. Matthew chapter 10 and in verse number 29, you say, how much does God care for me? Enough to be concerned, enough, as I preached this morning, to know your name and the number of hairs that you have on your head. That's pretty good. Matthew 10 and in verse number 29, notice what it says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. Now, how many birds are out there? There are millions and millions of birds. Not one of them dies. Kids, listen to me. When you got up there and killed one of them birds, God saw that. Now, little boys like to kill birds. Boys just like to kill things. That's a fact of the matter. I remember I shot my first bird. I was giddy. I was so happy. Man, I shot this red-headed woodpecker, shot it right out of a tree. I was so proud of myself. I went in and told my dad, and he slapped me in the face. He said, "Why'd you kill that bird?" I thought he'd be proud. I killed the bird. You know, I'm like the cat. You know what a cat does? Cat will kill a bird, cat will kill three birds. Put two at the front door and one at the back so you can't miss it, right? That's what cats do. Our cat used to do that. Kill bunny rabbits, leave the ears lay around so you can see them. You know, they're proud of their kill. I was proud of my kill, but God said, "Hey," my dad said, "Hey, the Bible says something about killing them birds, that God sees it," and he does see it. All right. Notice what it goes on to say. It says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for you are more valuable than many sparrows." Now, on my head, that's not pretty hard. That's not very hard to number the hairs on my head because I don't have that many. Brother Doug, oh my gosh, that's really easy. Right. But what about some of these thick headed people? Man, Liam's got a thick full of head of hair. I'd hate to have to count the hairs on Alma's head. She's loaded with hair. Right. You know, Gabriel here, man, I mean, he's waiting for me to say that. We have to go to the barber and thin him down, right? But he's got a lot. That's a good thing. But you know what? God has counted every one of those hairs. God knows how many hairs you got on your head. And that's a pretty amazing thing for God to do. And, you know, and if he didn't care for you, why would he count the number of hairs on our head? He wouldn't. But obviously he cares. And thank God he cares. He cares. He cares so much. That's why he said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye labor, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, if I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." God cares. He cares about us. He cares about the affairs of our life. It says, Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Hey, the Lord is concerned with what's happening in our life. And thank God that he is. Now, you think about that. You think about God that made the world and everything in it. And everything in the world is in complete obedience to God except what? Man. Everything in this world is in complete obedience to God except man. Remember when that poor whale had to swallow Jonah? You had to feel sorry for the whale. Right? Had that nasty prophet in his mouth. Had that nasty disobedient Christian in his mouth. Right? Did the whale want to eat Jonah? No. Did the whale want him in his stomach? The whale got sick and threw him up on the beach, right? I mean, think about that for a minute. But you know, for Jonah to live, the whale had to die. The whale had to beach himself so Jonah could survive. But you know, the whale willingly obeyed God, swallowed Jonah, and then took him to where he was supposed to be and gave his life so Jonah could live. That's an amazing thing. Creation obeys God. The animals obey God. When you think about that poor chicken that told on Peter, right? The rooster crowed and Baptist preachers that made the chickens pay every cent. What's the preacher's favorite meal? Chicken, right? Because the chicken told on Peter. And why is it that preachers like chicken? And because the poor chicken. But the chicken did. God said, "Crow and crow right now." And the chicken crew. The rooster crowed. You say, why? Because the rooster was obedient to God when Peter wasn't. Peter was not in obedience to God, but the rooster was. Isn't that amazing? How the animals will be in obedience to God and men will not be? That's an amazing thing. Balaam's ass. Balaam's ass saved Balaam's life. That angel stood out there with a flaming sword, was going to cut Balaam's head off, and that donkey, she ran across she ran across the field. And he's beating her the whole way, and she's just trying to save his life. Then they got up there next to the rock wall, and she scooted up against the rock wall, smashed Balaam's foot, but it was to save his life. And then finally, when there was nowhere to go, and the angel stood there with a flaming sword to slay Balaam, she just falls down to save Balaam's life, because that donkey loved Balaam. Did Balaam love the donkey? That donkey start talking? And said, "Am I not your ass that you ever ridden on me?" He said, "I wish there were a sword in my hand, I'd cut your head off." That donkey loved Balaam, but that Balaam did not love that animal. I've had a lot of animals over my years of life, and they all love me, but I didn't love them so much. I'm always thinking, you know, you ever had a dog that loved you and you kicked it? Come on now. Who's ever kicked a dog in your life? Raise your hand. It's all going to be the men, right? Alma, did you really kick a dog? I mean, come on. But, you know, you say, why? Animals love you even though you don't love them. And the more you dislike them, for some reason, the more they like you. They want to make you love them. I can go into a room and that dog will get in my lap every time. I don't care where it is. They'll want to love on me and kiss on me, and I'm thinking the whole time, dog, I'll take you out back, and only one of us is coming back, and it ain't going to be you. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. But yet the dog, they love you in spite of that. You think about that for a minute. And Balaam's ass obeyed the Lord, but not Balaam. Think about the lion that slew the man of God. You know, what's a lion do usually when it kills somebody? It eats. And I'll tell you this, lions like the way human beings taste. Nothing tastes better to a lion than a human being. Once a lion eats a human being, that's all it wants to eat. All right? And the man of God was disobedient. If you read the text in 1 Kings 13, 23 to 28, after the lion slew the man of God, he stood there right next to the carcass and did not eat the carcass of the man of God. You say, why? Because God told him, you can kill him, but you can't eat him. You think the lion wanted to eat him? Oh, yeah, the lion wanted to eat him. But he obeyed God, and he didn't eat the man of God. He didn't eat him. You think about those serpents that bit the people in the wilderness in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 25. God told them serpents, go up there and bite them people. And what did the fiery serpents do? They went out there and bit the people. You see, creation is obedient to God Almighty, but not so much the human race, not so much mankind. We think about the elements, the wind, the water, and the waves. When Christ commanded the wind to cease, what did the wind do? Immediately, it obeyed him. It didn't stop blowing when it felt like it. It stopped what? Immediately, and there was a great calm. When God commanded the sun, the moon, the stars. Hey, when God, one night God's going to say to the moon, stop shining, and the moon's going to stop shining. One day God's going to say to the sun, all right, it's lights out for you, no more brightness upon this universe, and the sun's going to cease to shine. You say, why? Because the elements obey God. And then there's man. The rebellious part of God's creation. God's never had a problem with any part of His creation except for man. You say, what bothers God? But I think man bothers God. Man bothers God. Four simple little things. The first one tonight is the selfishness of man bothers God. Look at verse 36. Again, in verse 36, it says, at the end of the verse, that there are also with them other little ships. And then look at verse 38. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you really think they cared about the other boats perishing? They cared about themselves. You know, a man once said, my favorite three people are me, myself, and I. Right? My best friends are me, myself, and I. Boy, that's a bad place to be in life, is it not? The selfishness of man to love yourself above everything else. And that's what's destroying our nation. The love of self. Why do you think parents don't take care of their kids? Because they love themselves more than they love their kids. There was a time when parents would do without and make sure their children had, but not today. Today, parents will take care of themselves and let their kids starve. It happens every day in this world, and it happens every day in America. And it's disgusting to see it. The selfishness of man. It is disgusting to see the selfishness that people, that they consume themselves with when it comes to that. Hey, if they'd have been concerned, Master, what about all these people out here? But that wasn't the concern. It's always a self-centered, selfish type of thing. You know, I think about people's prayer life, sometimes how selfish it is. On your prayer list, what's the number one thing on your prayer list? Is it me, myself, and I? Is it what I need? Is it your Christmas list? Is it, you know, is it for your family, your four and no more? You know what number one thing you should do in prayer, the first thing you should do in prayer? It's worship. Worship is the first thing we should do in prayer. And that is acknowledge God's holiness and His greatness. Come to the Father and worship Him. and the beauty of holiness. Acknowledge Him and honor Him for who and what He is, the Savior of the world. The second thing in prayer is to praise God and thank Him for your daily blessings. Just thanking the Lord for your daily blessing. You ever look at the model prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hey, what are you doing? You're worshiping and praising God in the model prayer. And then you get on down there and then you get into the other things, the personal things. But that's not where you start. You don't fall down asking God for me, myself, and I and all of my needs. I think that bothers God in our prayer life when we do that. How about this thing of making intercession for others, interceding on their behalf, and then making your requests known unto the Lord? You see, we've always said the way to have joy is Jesus first, others second, and you last. But boy, we got that thing turned around the day in which we live. I think it bothers God that our prayer life is so selfish when it comes so many times to things. You know, we get concerned when we got a problem, but if we don't have a problem, we're not all that concerned. And we ought to be concerned about other people's problems. When it comes to our personal life, you know, the truth of the matter is, if Christians weren't so selfish, it would eliminate probably half of their problems that they have at the work and at home and at school and at the church. You say, how do you have success? Putting others first. Look in Philippians chapter number 2. And again, Christ set the example. And if you can put other people first and think about someone else first, let me tell you something. That's the way to have success in life. That's the way to honor God and not bother Him. Because God, we know that God hates selfishness. He hates covetousness. He hates these things. Philippians 2 and verse 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What does that mean? Does that mean you mind everyone else's business? No. You look out what's best for other people instead of what's best for you. Let this mind be in you also, which is in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You say, what happened? Christ didn't do what was best for him. He did what was best for us. Try this at home. There's only one popsicle left. How about you give it to your wife? How about you give it to your children? How about you give it to your brother and sister instead of you eating it? You say, what is it? That's thinking about someone else first. How about if there's, how about if there's something left on the table and someone else might want it? How about you sacrifice yourself and let them have it? Isn't that a practical thing? It's a practical thing. You ever seen two dogs eat food? You've never seen anything worse than a greedy dog. A greedy dog will stand over the bowl and eat it and throw up just to make sure the other dog don't get it. How you know that? Because we've had, one time we had four dogs down in Trinidad, five dogs. And they were greedy dogs. They were. and they just didn't want the other person to have it. We had this dog, Minnie. Minnie was a good dog. She had a litter of puppies. And we wanted to treat Minnie to a special treat, and we gave her a bone. And her little puppy went to eat that bone, and she killed her puppy. You say, why? It's a greedy dog. It's a greedy dog. You know what I don't want to be? I do not want to be a greedy dog. I think that bothers God when Christians are greedy dogs. Hey, be a blessing to someone else. Help someone else. Do without something so someone else can be blessed and see if your life isn't blessed in return. Your life will be blessed. There's been many a times when I remember my family, my mom, there were six kids and there'd be one extra ear of corn and she wouldn't reach her hand for it. Matter of fact, sometimes she would pick it up and hand it to the different children to make sure they got it. Did she want it? Sure she did. But you know what? The love for the children was greater than the love for herself. We need to have a love for someone else and besides ourselves. And see, the selfishness of man bothers. No doubt that bothered God when they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I said, well, wait a minute. There's some other ships out here besides you. Is it all about you? Is everything all about you? If everything's all about you, we got a serious problem. And I think that bothers God when everything has to be about us. When it has to be our way all the time. That's why Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look upon the fields. You got to look at someone else sometimes beside yourself. You say, I got problems. You think you're the only one who has problems? I mean, how would you like to live in Somalia? El Shabaab just killed another 14 people at the hotel. The hotel there. I think, my goodness, I wouldn't want to live in Somalia. But there are millions and millions of people living there tonight. I sure wouldn't want to live in Syria. But look at all they're going through tonight. There are a lot of places in the world I wouldn't want to live tonight. But there are people going through problems, and I guarantee you their problems make ours look pretty small. Some of these kids live growing up down here in the projects downtown make our problems look pretty small. They're going to bed at night and their bullets going through their room. Our problems are small compared to theirs. And boy, you know, sometimes we need to think about someone else instead of ourselves. I think the selfishness of man, that it bothers God. Do you think it bothered God when John and James said, Lord, we have a request? He said, yeah, what is it? And he said, I want to sit on your right hand, on your left hand. Don't you think that bothered God? What about that? Why do you think the other 10 disciples got so upset? Who do you think you are? James and John, you're going to sit on my right hand, on my left? And what about these other 10 guys? Selfishness is a terrible thing. And it bothers God when Christians have it. No doubt about it. He upbraided them and rebuked them for their selfishness. I think the faithlessness of man bothers God. In verse number 40, he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? They've seen God do miracle after miracle after miracle. And no doubt it bothered him that they woke him up so terrified of a little storm. When this happens, Christ has already walked upon the water. And no doubt this bothers God tremendously to see their lack of faith. You know, God has done so many things for us, and then we get upset over one little thing and think God can't take care of it. God took care of the last 500 things. What makes you think He can't take care of the next one? Amen. God can take care of things. And our faithlessness sometimes, I think it bothers God that they have no faith. Where's your faith? I mean, where's your faith? The problem is we put our faith in the wrong things. They're putting their faith in the craft instead of putting their faith in God. Right? Where's your faith? You know, it's funny. We're sitting down in a chair and we have absolute faith in the chair. Right? You don't check the chair before you sit in it. You just sit in it. You didn't check the pew tonight to make sure it was going to hold you up. You just sat in it. Why can't we have that kind of faith in God and know that He's going to take care of things? Know that it's going to be okay. Know that it's going to be all right. We have our misplaced faith. You say, well, my faith is in the church or my checkbook or the economy or my company or my friends. That's a bad place to have your faith. Our faith has got to be in God. God is where our faith is going to be. And when our faith's not in God, then our faith is in the wrong place. Storms are always going to come, but they come to make us strong. And to increase our faith in God. You know, if you look at Peter's life, his faith was constantly increasing until the day that he was tested. Peter got to do things that no one else got to do. Do you think it's an accident that he's the chief speaker on the day of Pentecost? It's no accident that he's the chief speaker on the day of Pentecost. He did walk on water. He did see the Lord transfigured. He did see some things that he saw Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. He said he did deny the Lord, but he was sorry for it. He did run to the tomb of Jesus. Not everybody did. And all the problems and things he went through increased his faith so that one day God could use him, and God did. I think the faithlessness of man, that it bothers God. I think the fearfulness of man bothers God. In verse number 40, he says, why are you so fearful? In verse 41, it says, they feared exceedingly. He said one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? Now, the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, God has not given a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. God hadn't given us the spirit of fear. God doesn't want us to... God has given us Holy Ghost boldness to go before Him and to serve Him in our life. Fear binds the strongest man. It cripples the fastest runner. And it befuddles the most brilliant mind. Fear is a terrible thing. You know why most people have trouble singing specials? Because they're afraid. You know why people have trouble, preachers have trouble preaching? Because they're afraid. You know why people have trouble teaching Sunday school? It's because they're afraid. You know why people have trouble going on visitation and making calls? Because they're afraid. God doesn't want us to be afraid. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on understanding. The psalmist said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. God doesn't want us to go through life being afraid of everything and everyone and afraid of doing anything wrong. That's what the devil wants. I think it bothers God when God's people are afraid. The Bible says, fear not, fear not, fear not. Be of good courage, for I am with thee. Be of good courage, for I have said I'll never leave thee, forsake thee. Be of courage, for lo, I'm with you always, even in the world. Have some courage. Have some faith in God. The last one tonight is the faithlessness of man. The unfaithfulness of man. And I even I'm speaking of his persistence tonight. You know, it bothers God when we're not consistent in our life. I think that bothers God. What does God want all of us to be in our life? Consistent and faithful. We look at me in Luke chapter number 18. In Luke chapter 18, you have a great parable in Luke 18. And it's talking about prayer and worshiping God and getting your prayers answered. And faithfulness is part of that. You know, sometimes you need to... There's been people pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. And 25 years later, God come through. But what do? They prayed every day. Is there anything wrong with praying every day? No. Is there anything wrong with asking God for something every day? No. You know, I ask for God every day. I ask God for strength, for wisdom, for courage, for faith, to make good decisions at this church and good decisions for our family. You pray for our family every day. What did Job do for his children every day? He prayed for them. We need to be praying for them every day. Praying that God will work in their lives. Praying that God will do some things. And I think it bothers God when He is so faithful and we are unfaithful. Notice what it says in chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was a city, a judge, that feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said unto within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow, look what it says, troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjudged judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? You want to get your prayers answered? Start bothering God. You ask enough. You continually ask. And you worry God. What did the unjudged judge say? He said, I'm not doing nothing for you, lady. And then he thought about it. Wait a minute. If I don't do something, she's going to bug me to death. I'm going to take care of this thing. You see, we quit too soon so many times. There's some times we need to worry God. And sometimes when it comes to, hey, trying to get our prayers answered, trying to see God do some things, asking God to work and move. There's a time to bother God. In the right way. The first three were wrong ways. The fourth one is in the right way. Consistently, faithfully, serving God, doing the same thing, being consistent, being reliable, being counted, be able to be counted upon. I don't know about you, I want God to be able to count on me. I want God to know, hey, you know, that guy is going to be faithful. That's what you have to like about Job. Because when it came down to it, God said to the devil, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth?" Thank God for Job. And he continually came before God and how God worked in his life. God wants to work. But there are some things that, let me tell you, there are some things that bother God. And the disciples, they had to learn some things in their life. Guess what that means for you and I? We have to learn some things in our life. Aren't you glad Peter learned? Peter finally learned some things. I was down in Somerville one time. This lady was walking down there and she had this nutty boyfriend with him. And her mama came up to her, or her aunt, and said, "Girl, what's the matter with you? When are you going to grow a brain?" And she said, "Yeah, I know. I'm a stupid idiot." And I was watching it, and I heard what she said, and I thought to myself, "You sure are, girl. It's time for you to grow a brain. Time for you to grow a brain." Hey, God wants us to grow. That's why He gave us these examples. So that we could grow. So that we can learn and be a better Christian. Let's stand for prayer. Sister Susan's going to come tonight. We're not going to sing. Church, play a